Hello, and welcome to Talking CRM with Lena J. Weiner. Today, our guest is Brent Leary, partner with CRM Essentials and co-author of the Social Customer Engagement Index. Today, we're going to be talking about his top three tips for CRM for small businesses. Brent, what are some challenges that are unique to small business when it comes to CRM, and why can't they just do what the big dogs do?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Lena. This is great. When it comes to small businesses and CRM, I think one of the main challenges that they have is just the sort of setting the right perception and the right kind of expectations when it comes to it. I think a lot of them still feel like if they spend the money, if they write the check, that 99% of the work is done. But really, when you think about it, buying the software or pulling the money out of the wallet is the easiest part. It's the work that you need to do to understand and outline the challenges you're facing, the processes that are a part of that, what needs to be done with those processes, who's involved, really the laying the groundwork for documenting everything about the challenge and the processes and the people, and then looking at what technology will best implement the right processes and what people will be affected and are a part of that. A lot of that needs to be done in order to get the most out of that purchase. And I still think a lot of small businesses are looking for the silver bullet and not necessarily going and getting the right package after doing the upfront work.
So there is no silver bullet. You can't just pull out a gun and shoot it like you do a werewolf.
There's no silver bullets. There's no Hail Marys. You know, CRM is still about getting processes right, outlining processes, getting the right people involved, and it's, you know, CRM is about people. It's not about technology. Technology is the support. But if you don't have – I always kind of look at it like a Porsche is a great car. It's fast. It looks beautiful. Everybody wants one. But if you don't know how to drive it or you're not ready to handle the speed, you can buy the Porsche. You can get behind the wheel, and, you know, you may just get your accident to happen a lot faster and a lot more violent than it needs to. So I think small businesses today – although there's a lot of great options and there's a lot more, there's more accessible, there's more affordable, easy stuff to use. But if you don't know what you're supposed to do with it in terms of what challenges you're trying to solve, it's not going to do you any good.
So let's talk about your top three tips for CRM for small businesses. I see here that your first tip is subscription business models. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think this is there's a term that's been used, and I think it's been, if they didn't coin it, they've definitely evangelized it. There's a company called Zuora, who is a cloud-based billing and subscription management platform. But they've talked about subscription economy, and basically where people more and more are starting to subscribe to things as opposed to buying them outright. I mean, we can all look at, you just look at your own personal lives, and you can see things like Netflix, where we used to go to, I don't even know if people even remember what the Blockbuster, you know, what it was, but it's no more, and it's because we got technology and we have the ability to have a service like Netflix where you can pick from a website what videos you'd like, and then a couple of years ago they would show up at your door. Now we're to the point where, and so instead of having to wait a day or two to get the video delivered to your house, now you just get it and have it download streamed to your device. And so it's you know, technology has made it so that customers really have expectations for getting the things they want, and they want it quicker and quicker and quicker, and not necessarily needing to own something outright, but just use it when they need it and kind of move in that direction. So you're seeing more and more businesses create offerings that kind of go along with the customer's expectations for just give me what I need when I need it and moving in that direction. So We do it in our personal lives. You hear about the Dollar Shave Club. You hear about things like, there's even one called the Tie Society, where instead of going out and buying ties, you can sign up on the TieSociety.com site, go to your online closet, look at the new ties that they have, and pick one of those ties to put in your online closet, and then in a day or two it shows up. And then you wear it for as long as you want, and when you get tired of the tie, you put it in the little blue envelope, and it goes back, and then they send you the next tie in your online closet. So the behavior of customers are adapting because this technology makes it available to do things that we couldn't do before. And so it's really important subscription-based offerings that could go more in line with the way the customers are living today.
So what is your second tip for small business CRM?
I think more and more you're hearing this term customer experience, and it's not a new term by any stretch of the imagination, but it seemed to have made a comeback over the last year or two. There was a lot of discussion about it about 6-7 years ago, but I think just like social media breathed new life into CRM, social media and mobile technologies is breathing new life in the customer experience, and that's because your customers with these mobile devices, they're experiencing life and they're kind of processing their life, so there's a new impetus on, creating better experiences, better interaction experiences, and so there's a definite focus on how can we give the best kind of experience to customers so that we extend the relationship we have with them. So customer experience is a big thing because it could be every interaction in marketing, in sales, and in service, and I think customer service has the best opportunity to create more compelling experiences immediately than any other form of customer experience. So I think you're seeing more and more of that of customer service getting a look and getting more, I think, more focus. And because of social media, because somebody could send out a tweet that could be something kind of negative, and you have to be able to quickly respond to it. To kind of do what I call go from being a zero to being a hero. If you have a bad experience and somebody tweets about it, if you're able to quickly respond to it and show them that you're working on it and that you do get it right, I think you have a much better chance of having them say some really nice things after they may have said one or two negative things. And it also fits in with the whole subscription model because, when you're not buying something outright, that means it's not a one and done and the job is all over. When you're subscribing, when somebody subscribes to your service, in a lot of instances, they're just month to month to month. They're not big, long, year-long contracts. So every month, you have to show and prove value to this customer in order to keep them being your customer. So customer service also plays a big role in companies that begin to make subscription offerings available to their customers.
Sounds good. What is the last of your top three tips for small business CRM?
Well, I think I write a regular column for CRM Magazine, and last year, at the beginning of last year, I thought that 2013 was going to be a big year for marketing automation at the small business level. And I think as the year kind of rolled along, I was pretty proven correct on that. And I think 2014 builds on that. And it's because there is so much content coming at customers and prospects from all angles. And so you got to find, as a small business, you got to find ways to get the attention from customers and then keep it for long enough to turn a prospect into a really good opportunity, and then hopefully turn that opportunity into a full-blown customer. And then after you've gone through all that work of creating that new customer, you have to extend the relationship you have. So that's a life cycle that is really critical, and it takes automation because these are routine steps. But you have to do them in order to go have that buyer go through the cycle that make that those processes as easy and repeatable as possible. And that's where marketing automation tools come in, because they allow you to routinize and not spend all your time always chasing particular leads or, you know, going through the acquisition cycle all the time. You need to do that, but there's some great automation tools that help to do that, to help free your time to be on the other end. Once you've created that customer relationship, now you need to put real relationship time in to grow it, to extend it, and turn that one-time purchase maybe into a membership program like an Amazon Prime, or into just a brand advocate, somebody who really believes in what you're doing and is willing to kind of help you shout out to everybody else they know. But those kind of relationships can't be built if you're constantly spending 70-80% of your time looking for new leads and processing leads. That's where marketing automation can really help.
Do you have any examples of any small businesses that have started using marketing automation that have successfully done it?
I will say they're not as small now, but I started following, and actually they reached out to me, a company called HubSpot, which probably a lot of your listeners know about, of course. But I knew them when they were just two guys. And I've watched them go from two guys to 630 people, employees plus, to over 10,000 customers. And I literally watched how they did it, and how they used content to grow and to start thinking about, all right, now that we're putting out the content, we're getting all this traffic, how do we start to process these folks, because we think we're letting a lot of business go away. So they didn't start out with 600 people. They started out with two, but they started out with a strategy for leveraging content and then processing these leads. As once you get a million leads, you got to do something with them. So that may be a little bigger business, but it's like the one I use those their case study so much, because I literally saw it happen right in front of me.
So, Brent, last question. I heard you're writing a book. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Over the past, I've been an Amazon customer since 1997. And a couple of years ago, maybe it was actually like 4 or 5 years ago, somebody was asking me, and I was just coming off of writing, co-writing a book called Barack 2.0. This is back in 2008. So we watched and saw how the Obama campaign used social media in the early stages to basically, you know, win the election. I still have screenshots of when he only had 39,000 followers. I think now he's got 41 million. So, I mean, we were really watching early. But right around the time frame the book came out, 2009 or so, somebody asked me, what is the most fascinating company from my perspective to watch? And, you know, after doing all this watching with Facebook and Twitter, and this is when, you know, Twitter was I think they were all kind of relatively new in 2008. So, but, you know, everybody was talking about how the election was won and how they used YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. So, I would have thought I would have said one of those. But for some reason, I said, well, the most fascinating company to me to watch is Amazon. And it's mainly because I think that day when that person asked me the question, I had just gotten an order in from Amazon, and I started thinking, I've been an Amazon customer for about 11 to 12 years at that point, and I have never ever talked to anybody at Amazon, not from customer service, or realizing that is really strange, because I had a tight relationship with a company where I've never even talked to anybody. How did that happen? And, you know, being a CRM guy, I really started to think about this and dig into it. And as I did, I started really looking at all the different ways that Amazon is not just impacting my life as a consumer, but really how it's impacting the customer-vendor relationship throughout all industries. And so I started doing some talks and presentations I called the Amazon Effect, where I was literally looking at all the different ways Amazon is impacting the way that customers expect to be treated and the experiences they expect. B2B, B2C, didn't matter. And so that kind of morphed into a book. The folks over at CRM Magazine, the Info Today folks, they asked me, had I thought about writing a book? And I said, well, I had, and I've done one before, but the only book I really would be interested in doing now is this I call it The Amazon Effect, and they kind of liked the idea. And so the full title is The Amazon Effect, How a New Customer Culture is Creating Crazy New Business Opportunities and Killing Companies That Won't Adapt. That's a very long title, but if that's what it's about, it's how they continually, through all these different ways they do it, through big data. They were doing big data before the term was out and using it to create better buying experiences on the website. Their expertise in order fulfillment is one of the biggest competitive advantages that they have, because I love getting my stuff in 2 days. And that's why I'm an Amazon Prime member. So there's so many different ways, and I'm kind of using the book to look at the different ways and pull out some lessons I think businesses of all sizes really could use.
Great. Brett, it has been a real pleasure talking with you today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Great. For more information, please check out www.searchcrm.com.